your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now, your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Awfully nice to be around. Thank you for tuning in. We will be talking about the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice with our guests, Brandon Collins and David Swanson. Let me fire them up and make sure that we are all set to go. Gentlemen, how goes it?
All right.
Good to be here.
It goes. Thank you so much for the fine feedback on the program so far. I do want to thank you for coming in, although it's not the beautiful Sunday that we've had the last few weeks. So I don't need to thank you that much for coming in and spending your day on a nice, warm radio station. Again, our guests today, Brandon Collins and David Swanson from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. And a couple of different topics that we'll get to today. Write down the phone number. We will be taking calls a little later in the hour. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And let me take a moment and thank L. Oppelman's for their support. L. Oppelman's is Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department is now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages. Also available, complete drum sets. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. And a special thanks to those on Lynchburg's 89.9 for tuning in today. Guys, the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. A little thought about the mission. It sounds so easy and so obvious, but that's usually where we make our biggest mistake. Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice, who wants to take that on? A little bit about it.
Well, I'll go ahead. Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice has been around since the early 80s. It was formed mainly to confront nuclear arms and the nuclear arms race. And from then has grown, has morphed into all kinds of different things. Its latest incarnation, we've been spending a lot of time, obviously, opposing the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. We really got a boost after September 11th when people came out of the woodwork and really wanted to support peace. They wanted a different way of doing things than going to war. And we've been going strong since then and since the 80s. And our mission is to spread peace, to keep wars from happening, to spread justice, and to organize.
That sounds like a pretty big a lot to make happen. Has the mission changed in any way since? How long has the center been around?
Since the early 80s. And while we still consider nuclear disarmament a priority, obviously material circumstances have changed so that, the Peace Center has to change its mission from time to time to deal with things that are going on currently. But the overall concept of not wanting war and working for peace remains pretty solid there.
David, what made you want to become a member at the Peace and Justice Center? Are both of you just members, or do you have any sort of title?
I believe Brandon is currently one of five board members, and in recent years, for a few years, I was one of the board members. I am no longer, but I am still a member and supporter. There's just about universal, at least rhetorical, support for peace. It would be hard to find an organization anywhere that's not in favor of peace. What's different about an active Peace and Justice Center? center like this one is that we are opposed to wars, and we are opposed to particular wars, to wars that are underway, to wars that are happening that nobody knows about, and to wars that are being threatened and looming over us and possibly being launched in the future. And we are opposed to the war machine and the war propaganda and the war thinking and the war economy that in so many ways makes wars more likely. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's a national thing. Why don't you just do that nationally? Well, because this is an enormous nation. You can't meet face to face and make friends and discuss and educate and organize and inform each other nationally. We can't all jump on airplanes and get together every week or every month to do that. We have to do it locally, and we have to have that personal contact that through which people really communicate and educate and grow and learn from each other. And so we seek to influence our community, our local businesses, our local government, our congressional representative or our senators. And I think CCPJ has been really a model organization. And so I've been proud to be a member at various levels.
What's the methodology? I'll get in a few minutes to some of the we talked at the very beginning with Brandon about how things have changed from the original, I don't want to say goal, but the original topic that was taken. But what's the methodology to make this happen? People may not be aware that it's the Center for Peace and Justice that's doing this, but there's the group that hangs outside of the federal courthouse on West Main at the downtown area. But is that what it's all about, is standing outside and having people honk horns and, you know, as you wave your signs?
That's one of many, many activities on many, many topics. The Center for Peace and Justice is an open democratic organization that uses a variety of approaches, all nonviolent, and has open meetings to which everyone is invited, including this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Am I right, Brandon?
4:30 at the Friends Meeting House.
There you go.
1104 Forest Street.
Go to CharlottesvillePeace.org for the details. Go to the Friends Meeting House at 4:30 this afternoon and bring a topic. An individual or an organization frequently will bring an idea to the Center for Peace and Justice, and there will be a democratic discussion and decision made as to whether it's a useful goal and what tactics to employ. For years now, there has been a weekly demonstration against our current wars. The wars have been around, of course, for years now, every Thursday at 4:30 in the wintertime in front of the federal courthouse on that busy intersection. And that's another activity. People are always invited to come join in every week, but it's one of many, many things.
But if we get back to the methodology for a moment, standing on the corner, okay, people are used to that, but do you, and I'll get into this in a moment in a more detail, but you gather and show up at Charlottesville City Council, but do you... do you gather as a group and write letters to the local newspapers? Do you knock on people's doors? Do you? I mean, what other ways do you go about teaching people, sharing the information that you believe is important, trying to get more people there rather than? So we're here on Sunday. I know that my friend Coy Barefoot, you've been on his program before, but there must be other ways rather than standing at the corner and gathering in someone's home and the occasional time on the radio.
Well, we do a myriad of different activities. The standing on the corner in a lot of ways is sort of a personal effort for a lot of folks who do that. For me, I got so fed up and realized I had to do something right then and there, and that's what those Thursday demonstrations are about for me. When I get so frustrated that I have to take some kind of action, as small as it is, I get out and do it. And it's also a way to remind everybody in Charlottesville that these wars are still going on, that there's still people in this world that don't want these wars going on, that we want to end these wars. That said, you know, that's probably the least of the things that the Peace Center does. We've hosted all kinds of exhibits. We recently co-sponsored a very large national conference about the military-industrial complex at age 50, which David did a great deal of organizing for, and that was a three-day conference, invited activists from all over the country and all over the world to talk about the economics of war and how to move forward and how to organize. So it's not just about demonstrations, it's about education. We do on occasion do letter writing. We do on occasion do open letters. We have various campaigns that we participate in, including asking the public not to buy war toys at Christmas is a big one. Some things out there in the world and we feel it's unjust or that it's causing turmoil or causing war, we're going to be there and we're going to try to find a way to organize around it in various forms and hopefully in effective ways.
How do you handle the and I know there's negative comments out there. There are people listening today. There are people writing into the newspapers after whether they're recent or long ago issues. How do you handle that when people say, oh, those liberal, you know, T-shirt wearing or, you know, no haircuts, rarely bathe, you know, all those sort of negative comments that come from some sort of stereotypical image of, I guess, the 1960s. I don't even fall into that category anymore.
Well, for the benefit of the listeners, there is actually not much evidence in the studio here that we have not bathed. I'm not swearing I have, but, there's also not a shred of evidence that anyone listening is saying such nonsense. It's drilled into our heads every day by our televisions that peace is a fringe minority opinion, but the polls tell us exactly the opposite. And I have no reason to state with such certainty the contrary views of people listening when we haven't had a single call or done a poll or have a bit of evidence to suggest
but it. I can go on to the website and look at the articles on the hook in the Seville Weekly, in the Daily Progress, and read the commentary that comes after the article. And whether it's one person using multiple different names or it's actually multiple people who are speaking up, and as often said, it only takes a handful of people who disagree or who had a bad experience to speak louder than the hundreds and thousands who were just fine with what happened.
Right.
But I can look online and know that there are at least a few people making those negative comments. And I'd like to know how you handle that and the commentary back.
Well, if there were not some disagreement or disinterest or ignorance, there would be no point in a campaign of educating and organizing and mobilizing and pushing an issue. And it's very useful to actually have discussions with those who disagree. And so among the many events that CCPJ has done, bringing speakers and holding seminars and so forth, have been events where we try to welcome people from different viewpoints to have a civilized, in-depth discussion rather than simply name-calling on websites. And that's a huge part of what's involved. Even people who are long-term members, very active in CCPJ, will disagree on various issues and will have to discuss. There are many who are opposed to certain wars and think other wars are just fine, whereas there are others, and I would include myself, who think there's absolutely no excuse for any war, ever. And so there will be disagreements, and we have them nonviolently. We have them sympathetically. We listen to each other. We open ourselves up to the possibility that we might be wrong and have something to learn, and we discuss. But in a great part, we're dealing with topics where we are up against a wall of incredible ignorance and misinformation. On the topic of Iran, we have people imagining that Iran could possibly be some sort of threat to the United States, that Iran has nuclear weapons, that Iran is behind 9/11, that Iran tried to assassinate a Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C., that Iran has missiles that could strike North America. I mean, absolute nonsense, and we have to work to open people up to new information that goes against the worldview that they've adopted, and so it can be a long process. But if done patiently and non antagonistically, it can begin to work. Which is why so many people are not accepting lies about Iran. Who accepted similar lies about Iraq? There has been an educational process over the past 8 years.
11:15 on the wake-up call, as we talk with our guest. That was David Swanson. We also have Brandon Collins here from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Send me an email. Send me an instant message, WNRNstudio on the AOL site. Call us up, 979-0919. Or toll free, it's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. I saw the line ringing a minute ago, so make it light up again. Signs of success for the center?
Well, you know, we can talk about the Peace Center or, you know, the peace movement in general. One thing that I've heard a lot lately is some of our successes we don't always notice right away. And one of those great successes is that we haven't gone to war with Iran yet. And this is because of a great deal of organizing out there in the world, a great deal of willingness to confront the lies being spread about that situation. And so you don't get this great fanfare typically when you keep a war from starting. The Peace Center itself has been involved in plenty of things that have made some great changes locally. You know, we admit readily that it's a tough struggle to be involved in, and one that's completely necessary and worthwhile.
I would say this resolution is a success story in that it is inspiring other cities and towns around the country to move similar resolutions to their city councils. I would say this conference that Brandon mentioned that we held in September on the military-industrial complex at 50, which we've turned into a book that publishes the speeches from that conference, has had a great and growing impact on the public discussion around the country. And I would say that military spending being on the table in the public discussion, albeit we're being sold lies and we're being told that actual increases are cuts because they're cuts to projected budgets and so forth, it's under discussion now, the possibility of cutting military spending and redirecting those funds to something useful is possible. It's on the radar, and if we push harder, it could actually happen. That's a huge historical success that's been many years in the coming.
We'll get into that resolution at the Charlottesville City Council just after this. Markets of Tigre Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain before 2 o'clock today. Highs about 47. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the 30s. And then sunny tomorrow. High about 55. Right now in the valley, it's a cloudy day out there. 34 in the valley, 37 in Lynchburg, 40 in Richmond, 39 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tigre Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And a thanks to Dixon Disposal. Dixon can help you protect the earth by utilizing single-stream recycling in their regular pickup service. Dixon offers weekly leaf removal up to 5 pounds or more, and you can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 434-978-2111. All right, back to our guests today, Brandon and David from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Guys, we were talking about the resolution in the Charlottesville City Council for in terms of not supporting war in Iran. It's made a lot of news for multiple reasons, one of which is why have local government be involved in sort of national, international issues, being the first local government to actually take on, and so it's made news in Iran itself. Let me do my little bit of thing here. I have this. The City Council of Charlottesville passed a resolution believed to be a first in the country opposing the launching of a war on Iran, as well as calling for an end to the current ground and drone wars engaged in by the United States and urging Congress and the President of the United States to significantly reduce military spending. That was a resolution brought forward by the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice, which the Charlottesville City Council agreed to 4-0. I believe Kathy Galvin decided she didn't oppose it, but she chose to not vote because she wanted some wording changed, and when that didn't happen, she left it as it was. David, talk about it from the center's point of view and how this came about and your how you feel about it now that it's gone through.
Well, in the history of this country, it's been standard practice for cities to bring issues to the state and national governments. Thomas Jefferson's rules for the House and the standard rules for the House make provision for local governments to petition the Congress, including on foreign affairs. There have been court cases in state supreme courts around the country finding in favor of the people's rights to bring such issues through city government. To lobby the federal government. It's been a standard practice in Charlottesville over the years. It's also an even more standard practice for Charlottesville City Council to address itself to the government in Richmond. And it's, of course, ever more necessary as our larger scale governments grow more and more out of touch with the people, more and more under the control of their financial backers, for us to speak through those levels of government where we have some representation. And it's, you know, this was long in the coming. Three of the city council members, and there was a potential for four as Brandon here was a candidate, attended this conference back in September, educated themselves about the issue. This was a resolution we brought to them speaking purely about military spending. And it was city council member Dave Norris, moments after ceasing to be mayor, Dave Norris, who proposed adding into it not attacking Iran, which we were completely in support of, but we had not put in there to begin with, primarily for concern that they might not pass it. But they did pass it, and they are to be applauded for having that courage and that wisdom and that understanding. We are talking about potentially the most catastrophic thing that we have seen. A war on Iran has huge potential to become nuclear, to involve several nations, to become effectively a new world war. We are already sanctioning Iran to horrible impact on Iranian families. And, you know, we have our state government doing such nonsensical things as requiring that women get ultrasounds of their fetuses. And, you know, we ought to be requiring that our president get an ultrasound and study it of every Iranian fetus in every Iranian mother. We ought to be talking to court TV and all the networks hanging out over at the courthouse and having them study images of every attractive young female Iranian athlete who might someday be murdered. I mean, we are focused on such trivialities that to take 10 minutes for our city council to say no, to do something that might help, anything nonviolent that might help avert this kind of disaster, we have an absolute moral responsibility to do it.
Well said.
Do you think that there will be any final impact on this? I understand the point of wanting to speak loud and having the city council, because of their vote actually speaks louder. More people seem to hear the government, however it's represented, speak on the issue rather than, you know, the five people or four people voting on it seem to speak louder than the thousands of people or however many are on the corner or were in the city council room when the vote was made. But will there be a final impact from this in a positive nature?
I believe so. excuse me. One of those things is that other cities around the country are taking note of this. Recently in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I think they're looking at a resolution. I know Richmond, Virginia is looking at one on Tuesday. If you live in Richmond and you're listening to this, show up Tuesday night to support that in their city council. The state of Washington, I believe, is considering some kind of resolution like this. So it's more shoulders against the wheel. It's another way of expressing a desire to not have this new war, desire to cut the military budget and bring our war dollars home for things that we can use. I think, you know, here in Charlottesville, we definitely have the responsibility to say these things because we can't get proper funding for the things we need, particularly our housing stuff. If we look at the community development block grant, that money is on the chopping block when the military is taking up so much more. So, you know, those are funds we could be using for our people here, and we have the responsibility to bring that money home and ask for that money to be here in Charlottesville. We'd be way better off not having a new war, ending the current wars, and cutting the military budget. So there is an impact from this resolution. We're letting the world know that there's been folks from London, there's been folks from France who've contacted city council members and let them know that that they're proud of us for doing this. The whole world is watching, and as we do this, it's another way to legitimize the call for peace. Yes, there is an impact, and I think we're seeing it already. I mean, the lies that are being spread about Iran have been confronted. The information is out there. We're able to educate people. Any chance to talk about this is a victory, and so when a city passes this kind of resolution, it gets a whole lot of people talking and figuring out ways to get involved, and yes, it has an impact.
11:27 on the wake-up call as we talk with our guests, Brandon Collins and David Swanson from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice, and we can do so thanks to folks like Blue Ridge Graphics. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Mead Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Guys, one of the things that you touched on it, David, when we first started talking about the resolution for Iran and the Charlottesville City Council, is that one of the feedbacks was, why is the City Council taking time to bother with this when they can't decide on the parkway, they can't decide on the water, there's been determined that there's not enough money to give the school system? Why is time being taken for this when things that affect the daily lives of the Charlottesville individual being postponed, overlooked, not given the 10, 15, 50 minutes that they could be given?
Answered your own question. This is a resolution that says the taxpayers of Charlottesville give to the federal government monies that are spent on the military and the war machine, the equivalent of over $100 million each year, while we do not have money sufficient for high quality schools and transportation and infrastructure and green energy development. And we need that money for those things. We need it for jobs. We need it for our economy. We need it for our schools. And so to say, why should the Charlottesville City Council spend not a dime and take up 10 minutes to communicate that they would prefer more wise direction of that $100 million when we don't have money and we need money? It's a nonsensical question, I'm afraid. The point is exactly that we need the money, that other nations without our wealth have higher quality schools, higher quality health, longer life expectancies, lower infant mortality, higher retirement security, longer vacations, more sustainable environments, and all down the line. We're not number one. We got to stop shouting we're number one. We're 46, we're 37, we're 28, depending on what category you look at. And it's not because we don't have the money. It's because we have the aircraft carriers and the bombs and the missiles and the billionaires. And people in polls across the country, and Charlottesville is no exception, do not want to dump all of our money into bombs and missiles and aircraft carriers and billionaires. They want the schools. So to take 10 minutes to say so, I don't think we should take, you know, an hour to lament that. We should cheer for them and move on to how can we develop a detailed program to begin economic conversion at the local level here in Charlottesville.
Here's a question online from Blue Brenda 321. Did Kathy Galvin abstaining from the vote cause any harm?
I don't think so. You know, she was, I think, trying to inject a little unnecessary patriotism or something into this resolution, and it really was trying to water it down. I think as a new counselor, I think she does support the idea of peace in spirit. I think maybe she would have been better off. We all would have been better off having a unanimous vote, but no, I do not think it is. I don't think we're going to see Ms. Galvin out there saying that it's a bad thing that we pass this resolution. I don't think we're going to hear her cheering for war or cheering for more spending on the military or anything like that. She had issue with the wording, and you know, it would have been great if she'd have voted for it. But I don't think it weakens the resolution at all. Certainly, it doesn't weaken it the way that the language that was proposed for it would have.
11:32 on the Wake Up Call with our guests today, Brandon Collins and David Swanson from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing WNRN to be here today, as well as The Backyard for supporting us. You can find The Backyard. It is UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard is now open on Sundays. They serve brunch and a pub menu until close. For more information, it's 434-202-8215. Look at them at thebackyarduva.com, and they have a Facebook page. Guys, we were talking about the resolution for Iran that City Council recently voted on. You're going to take it to Albemarle County Board of Supervisors as well, correct?
That's the plan.
Do you, with the what many people would consider the different politics, and you know, Charlottesville is that, you know, a very democratic, liberal side. Albemarle County has a little more split in their votes. How do you feel about your potential success, and will you change the method in which you try and bring that up?
I'm sure it's going to require a different tactic to actually get that passed. And we're pretty mindful that this is going to be much tougher in the county. But, you know, in fairness and with the mission of peace in mind, we need to do this. And if we're going to approach the city of Charlottesville with this, then we need to approach the county of Albemarle and get them on record and see how they feel about it. And it will bring another opportunity to talk about the lies in Iran and the massive amounts of money we spend on the military.
Do you envision sort of expanding this? Whether the vote is approved by the Albemarle Board of Supervisors, will you then go to Nelson or Fluvanna or et cetera and expand to try and get other counties to go on record?
Well, Brandon already mentioned Richmond, Virginia. Moving forward, there are peace and justice groups in many of the places you named and elsewhere around the state, so it won't be exactly Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice going on a road tour, but it will be allies and friends in neighboring counties and communities bringing the same or similar resolutions to their representatives, which is why it's important that people really thank and celebrate Charlottesville City Council for having done this. That response helps make Albemarle more likely, as well as the growing tensions and looming threat of the war makes Albemarle County more likely. So I wouldn't write them off at all. They may very well do the right thing, particularly with the example of Iraq now several years in the past still in everyone's mind. A lot of people remember who was right and who was wrong in 2003.
So there's no electric Kool-Aid acid test bus going from county to county trying to make it happen?
It's an idea.
Make it happen, Rick.
you got the bus. We'll get on it.
Oh, I like the concept anyway. Let's go back. We're talking again with Brandon and David from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Send me another instant message like Brenda did, WNRN Studio on the AOL site. Call us up. 877-WNRN-ROCKS, or the local number is 979-0919. We keep coming back to the amount of money being spent in the military. And where do you trim that from? Because one of the comments that I hear every time someone talks about, we need to cut the military spending. Okay, we'll put it over here. We'll take money away from the military and we'll give it to Medicare, homeless, etc. But the people who lose their jobs from the military, what happens? Where do they go?
Well, there's no dispute among economists that spending the same dollars from the federal government on the military produces fewer jobs than if spent on education or infrastructure or green energy or even on tax cuts for working people. I'm not talking about more tax cuts for Mitt Romney, but for the rest of us. You actually produce more jobs. So there are millions of people working for the military and its contractors and subcontractors. Those are real people with real jobs. But in a sense, the entire thing is a fraud. And in effect, it's a drain on our economy because it's actually worse than nothing. It's worse than not taking the government from the money from the people to begin with. It's worse than spending it on any other industry. And this is just in economic terms, just in job production terms, not counting all of the negative side effects of war that this money motivates. And so you need a program of economic conversion that retools, retrains, doesn't kick people out of their jobs, finds new jobs for them, better paying jobs, and hires millions of additional people who were without employment or adequate employment now. We need 30 million jobs right now in this country, and we could get a large chunk of them while re-employing everybody who lost a job in the process if we shifted from a military economy to an economy that really invested in education and infrastructure and sustainable energy, which, of course, would also have the nice side effect of not requiring as many wars for oil.
How do you make that happen when we can discuss what percentage of the general population would be for this? But the general population is not actually making the decisions on where the money is spent. So if there are 50% of those making those decisions, where the budget goes, whose money gets cut, how do you convince those people that the money should be taken from one area and used to re-educate those who have lost jobs for another style of government?
I think David really hinted at the key to that is well, for one, we've got people out here building a movement to cut the military budget, and we're making some gains with that. David mentioned that it really is part of the public discourse at this point. When we get serious about this, and when the national government, the state government, even our local governments get serious about this, we will see committees and administrations that have a program for conversion, for the conversion of our military into peacetime use, into green energy jobs, into you know, a whole host of things. And you know, at the one of the workshops at the Military Industrial Complex conference, folks sat down and made their own sort of versions of how to reprioritize, and got some great information about that. Imagine if we had a program that had the support of our government to realistically and comprehensively look at what it would take to convert our military money into good jobs, into clean energy, into adequate health care, into education. We can do all this stuff. It takes some planning, and when we get there, we'll be ready to do it, and it's completely possible.
I don't want to get too far away from the topic of the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice, but back in November, I had some members of the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Occupy Charlottesville group here, and one of the things that I always found fascinating and difficult is that despite the fact that there, the claim is that there's the 1% versus the 99%, 50% of the 99% don't agree with what they're arguing. They say 50% of that group, and again, I'm just picking a number, but there's a large chunk, it seems half of the people who fall into the 99% who, you know, should have more money and who are being treated unfairly are saying, leave me alone. I don't agree with what you're arguing. And so how do you get those people to approve and agree with your thoughts on cutting the military so that money can be better spent for a larger percent and better towards the population? Well, I'll come back to that in just a second, David. It is 11:41 on the wake-up call, talking with Brandon and David from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And there's a proposed legislative bill that would allow hunters to open fire on Sundays, and it has two sides. Is it a good way to refill game department coffers or an unfair risk to outdoorsy types? Email showing the Virginia Quarterly Review's awkward workplace scenario arrived at the Hook office in an unmarked envelope. Read the accounts of the events that included the suicide of VQR's Kevin Morrissey. And while the new Whiskey Jar restaurant is about to open, my old hangout, St. Martin Cafe, closes after 26 years. The Hook, no matter what the weather. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports also supports WNRN. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. All right, again, David, I don't want to get too far away from the center, but when we talk about taking money from the military because it can be better used and support more people in a different style economy, you have so many people who you and I and Brandon believe would be better helped by this doing, say, I don't agree with that. Don't do that. How do you convince them otherwise?
Well, I know that 86.2% of statistics are made up on the spot, but you can't just pull out of thin air 50% think this and 50% think that.
I try and make it easier for those who are
right, but it's false. This is the thing. There are topics in our political discourse on which there are super majorities, on which we have overwhelming majority of the people on one side and a minority that deserves to be heard on the other side. And among those are opposition to wars on places like Iran and Syria, shifting the spending from the military to education and jobs and energy, disempowering the corporate operations, cleaning the money out at the elections, prosecuting criminals, even if they're on Wall Street or profiting from wars. These are super majority opinions.
Even if 50% is made up on the spot, and if it's 80%, whatever, you have to agree that there's a very large chunk of people who are would fall into the category that Occupy Charlottesville, etc., Occupy Wall Street would fall into the category who would be helped by such. We're still out there saying, I don't agree with you. Don't try and represent me. What you're saying is not true.
But here's the thing. When you have a representative government that's supposed to answer to majority will, and it is consistently opposing the views of 75, 80, 85% of the country, then you have misrepresentation. And to demand that the views of that 80% be represented in our government is not to abuse the rights of that 20, 25% that disagrees. Sure, they are our fellow citizens. They are our friends and neighbors. We need to talk with them. We need to not discriminate against or unnecessarily harm individuals' rights in any political process. But yeah, once in a while, having 80% with us ought to be good enough, darn it. We ought not to have to win over that last 20% on every issue when majority rule is supposed to have some say in this country.
And now we just need to figure out how to vote in the people who would represent the 80%.
Indeed, or pressure those who are in office to change what they are doing. You know, we if we divert this all into elections because it's election year, as it is every other year, we will lose everything. We need, right. And this is why CCPJ doesn't do elections. There's also tax reasons, right? You can be a mega transnational corporation and pay negative taxes and put unlimited money into buying elections. You could be a little nonprofit group and you have to steer clear of pushing candidates or lose your tax status. But it's also better that way to be independent of the electoral process and to push your agenda uncensored on the entire culture. That's how we're going to move things.
That's David Swanson. We also have Brandon Collins here from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Brandon, does that mean that the center is apolitical? You don't represent particular candidates or don't push particular candidates?
Apolitical is maybe not the term, but no, we do not support any particular candidate. You know, there may be some with certain sympathies, but I think the overall feeling amongst folks in the Peace Center is that, you know, we need to be able to send a clear message about what it is that we want. And, typically you're not going to get that clear message from any candidate. So in order for us to really be as honest and as clear and forceful about our issues is to not support those candidates. We do engage with members of Congress, with our local officials. We would love to sit down with the president and talk about this stuff. We don't shy away from political discourse, but when it comes to the electoral arena, we don't have a say and we don't really need one. I think what's most important is building a movement in this country to get what it wants, and that needs to be a very inclusive movement for peace. And I think, you know, coming back to the money thing, there are plenty on the right who see this money issue as being something that they support, and I hope they'll join in on the cause.
Let me take a moment and let everybody know that they need to stay tuned to WNRN through Valentine's Day, because you can win gifts for you and your sweetheart. We have opportunities to win chocolates from Gearhearts and gift certificates, as well as dinners at restaurants all over the listening area. WNRN members can win even more. So listen through Valentine's Day to win from your station with more ways to win. Oh, and Drew Thompson's here. Stay tuned, because at noon he'll have Les Temps Perdue. Drew will be featuring bands in the 80s and 90s with alternative sounds like Tuscadero and New Order. Roxy Music. Les Temps Perdue brought to you in part by Caliente. So 11:48 here, about 12 minutes left with our guests, Brandon Collins and David Swanson. Guys, we've talked about the resolution and at the courthouse. I went online to your website and found other CCPJ topics of interest. I don't want to get too far into these, but some of them made perfect sense to me. Some of them did not. Living wage at UVA, how does that fall under the Center for Peace and Justice interest?
Well, it's obviously an issue of justice, working for meaningful wages for people in Charlottesville to be able to survive here, to work here, and to be able to pay their bills. It's something the Peace Center has supported for a very long time. In fact, altered its mission statement a long while back to include living wage, as well as all our other parts of that mission statement. This is what justice is about, and we stand for justice, and would encourage everyone out there to get involved with the Living Wage Campaign at UVA. This Wednesday at noon, there will be faculty members from the university presenting petitions to the president of the university, and the Board of Visitors will be coming to Charlottesville very soon. I think it's mid-February, and we're going to want a lot of folks out there, and the Peace Center will be right there with them.
All right. That one made perfect sense to me. The Route 29 Western Bypass opposition. I didn't get this one as peace or justice.
Well, as I said before, the Center for Peace and Justice in Charlottesville is an open coalition, democratic type organization, and groups and individuals bring issues to meetings, as everyone is encouraged to do at 4:30 today at the Friends Meeting House, and propose ideas. There's almost nothing really that you can't fit under the heading justice. It certainly could be unjust to unnecessarily destroy the environment, to damage people's communities, people's farms, to pollute our atmosphere, to increase the need for gasoline, which motivates the wars we were talking about earlier. It's difficult to find any topic that is of concern to people in the community and say, oh, that doesn't fall under peace or justice at all. Anything arguably could. It's a question of whether a coherent case can be made that it's something everyone wants to engage in, potentially effective activism around, and it remains to be seen on that issue. We'll see.
And I guess if we're going to talk about pollution, this one makes sense then. Beyond Coal at UVA campaign.
Sure. Well, this is something we're definitely behind. This coal tower there in the university, it's time to shut that down. We have the technology to deal with that, and it's polluting our city. It's affecting folks of low income in particular, who don't have as great access to healthcare. But it's affecting all of us. We have, it's getting worse and worse, our air quality, if you look at recent studies, and a lot of that can be attributed directly to that coal tower. And it's really time to shut that down. And it is part of our mission. You know, again, our mission statement actually refers to the environment as well. And all of these things, energy use and things like that, we can make the case that, building a green economy, building a sustainable world, really contributes to peace. It contributes to justice. And one of the first things I ever did for the Peace Center, representing the Peace Center, was going to City Council and opposing the Meadow Creek Parkway, and we tied that directly to our military and to these wars that we've been in, and we can make that case, and people make that case often in City Council and in the world. We need to end this culture of the automobile and our reliance on oil if we're going to get anywhere as far as ending war and having peace.
Is there any religious aspect to the center? I can see the political aspect, and someone in a different conversation that I had earlier in the week said, what do you think is more difficult, religion or politics? And I was like, holy crap. Let's save that until we've had like a pitcher of beer and a couple shots. Is there a religious aspect in any way for Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice?
We have quite a few religious members, and I think anyone who takes their faith seriously can see the political nature of that. I'm not a religious person, but I have deep respect for those folks, those Quakers and Presbyterians and Catholics that are involved in the Peace Center, that take it on, that do a lot of the hard work. In fact, some of the folks who do most of the work for the Peace Center are deeply religious people.
Have you found any folks opposing you who claim, say, claim sounded like such a negative word, people who oppose you say that it's because of a religious aspect.
I've never experienced that.
It's conceivable we could imagine it, but I don't think I don't recall any instance of it.
11:55 here on the Wake Up Call with David Swanson and Brandon Collins from the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. We've mentioned several times about the gathering later today at the house.
At the Friends Meeting House, 1104 Forest Street, and the meeting starts at 4:30. We'll be discussing a bunch of different things, and we hope you come down and join us.
And assuming that I don't have my Google Maps app on my phone, where is Forest Street?
Off of Preston Avenue. If you're coming from downtown on Preston Avenue, you'll take a right on Forest.
All right. Guys, I want to make sure that we finish up our hour talking about, we've talked about a lot of topics within, but the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice seems to have a greater motivation than just bringing the resolution forward and standing on the corner of West Main on Fridays. Is that correct?
Thursdays.
They don't live downtown anymore. I used to walk by and wave on a regular basis.
Well, come by.
But there seems to be more to it than picking out a particular topic. And I want to make sure that that's mentioned. If you close your eyes and envision the ultimate and end goal, is there a point where everyone at the Center for Peace and Justice could shake hands and say, thank you, we've accomplished everything?
Well, it's both very unlikely and theoretically impossible. In a democracy, you have to have activism. There's not a desire to get to a different sort of society that doesn't need or doesn't want activism. But we could imagine a world in which everyone who worked earned a living and was able to support themselves, in which we had health coverage for everyone, in which everyone's rights were respected, in which people went and saw the Super Bowl and heard the announcers say, we'd like to thank our servicemen and women watching from 177 nations around the world, and ask themselves what in the hell they're doing in 177 nations and whom they're serving, when people went to buy toys and saw toys that pushed the mass murder of human beings on their children, were shocked by it, when people heard about debates over whether a war was appropriate or not and whether this would be a good war or a bad war, were outraged as they would be if they heard a discussion of whether this rape or that slavery would be a good or useful one, a society in which war had been put behind us and justice, social justice, was the norm, you would still need activism or you would lose it all. But that's there is a vision, and it's a vision that is deeply different from common sense. So there is a need to get involved and think about it.
When you were talking about that, and I don't mean this in any positive or negative way, but what came to mind was a Kurt Vonnegut novel, as though it were a hope, but it was also fiction.
It's not fiction. What we're saying is peace is certainly possible and doable. We need to have the long view on history and realize that this movement started with people 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and is likely not to get where we want it to be for another 100 years, perhaps. In the meantime, we can keep wars from happening. We can work for justice. We can bring justice. All of this stuff is completely possible, and we are going to get there. It takes a long view of what's going on and some recognition that it's going to take hard work, and I believe we've made gains, and we're going to continue to make gains.
Do you have a date yet when you plan to go before the Albemarle Board of Supervisors with the Iran resolution?
I think we'll be discussing that today at the meeting.
Okay. And once again, you have today's meeting,
4:30, Friends Meeting House, and every Thursday, 4:30 in the wintertime in front of the Federal Courthouse downtown on the corner, and events all the time. There's a listserv you can sign up and get an occasional email at charlottesvillepeace.org.
Gentlemen, I wish the best. I hope to support in some way. I hope the hour helps. I believe that discussion is necessary from both the positive and negative side. I hope everyone understands that, whether you're unsure or whether you're waving your flag behind the Charlottesville Center. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Next week, Hawes Spencer will be here from The Hook as we talk about some of the current events that are going on. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.